like to see some coffins? Yes. Who would like to see some coffins that have been used?
Yes.
Who would like to see some coffins that have been used by having real, dead bodies inside of them?
Yes.
Don't just stand there, come this way. Just don't expect the dead bodies to still be in there. You do have hygiene regulations in that, don't you? It is said to be very, very haunted. Here we are on the Shambles, York's most famous street. The word shambles in this case doesn't have anything at all to do with the modern word. As we know, the modern English word shambles means a boy's bedroom, does it not? But in this case, it comes from an old Middle English word shambles, or to use the full term, flesh ammels, which means either the benches or perhaps the hooks on which fresh meat was displayed, because this at one time was York's finest butcher street. In the old days, they used to bring the live animals in at the rear of the buildings, slaughter them in there, and then put the good meat out of the front for display. All kinds of animals, sheep, cows, goats, pigs, little fluffy lambs. Sorry, I was talking about that. And then, I'll be brave. And then when they put the good meat out at the front, all the bits that they didn't want, all the insidey bits and the outsidey bits and the gristly bits, they used to throw out into the street, like we're all standing now. Oh yes, if you'd have been walking up and down here in medieval times, at certain times of day, you would have been ankle deep in guts.
Yeah.
Warm intestines. Bits of pig skin, bits of cow's ear, bits of sheep's lip. Rather like a trip to McDonald's, really. The odd eyeballs staring up at you as it floated down, and a rivulet of coagulating blood. They were being entertained by Mrs. May Webb, the secretary of the club. She was playing tunes on the organ for everyone's amusement. She played several tunes, everyone was very happy, but then she started to play a hymn called The Holy City. Has anyone heard of this hymn at all before? Well, you may recognise it from the chorus, but well, considering the way that I sing, you may not recognise it at all, but we'll give it a bash anyway. It goes something like this. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Nothing. Anyway, I do assure you that such a hymn does exist. Well, she got a few bars into this hymn when suddenly and without warning, a cigarette lighter which had been placed on one of the tables rose up of its own accord and then shot in an arc across the room. Well, understandably, everyone was rather perturbed by this. So after a little nervous laughter, the cigarette lighter was replaced and Mrs. Webb carried on playing The Holy City. A few seconds later, the cigarette lighter repeated its trick. It rose from the table, shone across the room, this time narrowly missing someone. Well, by now, everyone was intrigued. So they decided to do a little experiment. They got the cigarette lighter back, and then they had Mrs. Webb play several other different tunes. She played about three different hymns in a row. Nothing happened. She played three more tunes. Again, nothing happened. So then, with some fear and trepidation, she once more started to play The Holy City. And once more, the cigarette lighter rose from the table, shot across the room, this time hitting someone square in the face, and Mr. Tom Moore, one of the members of the club. Thus proving convincingly that smoking really can damage your health. Albeit only temporarily in this case. Well, everyone was full of this after the meeting, they were all chattering away, but it was the following week when they all met up again that certain things started to come to light. People started to talk about what had happened directly after that first meeting. Several people reported a very strange and strong feeling that they were being followed on their way home. And what's more, when they got home, some people said that odd things would happen in their houses. They would leave a room and then go back in to discover that objects had been mysteriously moved around. Well, of course, we do know that there's a special name for a kind of entity or spirit which moves objects around in the house. It is a
poltergeist.
Or not, as some blogs every other week, a wife. Yes, a poltergeist. Originally a German word meaning a noisy or a lively spirit. Well, everyone was convinced that all this had been caused by the ghost of Lady Peggott herself. Now, I don't know of any particularly traumatic experience in Lady Peggott's life which would give rise to such a event, but of course there are those who do say that poltergeist activity is not even caused by ghosts at all. It is instead caused by something deeper, something darker, more primitive and ancient than mere spirit of death. Could it be that that traumatic ritual Right, well, I hope I'm not going to smack you in the face when I'm gesticulating. Right, well, here we are in the Bedern area of York, named after a rather strange little chapel at the other side of this block here. The word Bedern is an old Anglo-Saxon word. It means prayer hall, Bedern prayer hall. In the old days, the Bedern area was a very bad area indeed, particularly in Victorian times, and it was one of the worst areas of slum housing, that is to say, poor people's housing, in the whole of the British Isles. At one point, there were 352 people living in the Bedern Square area, and for all those people, there were only three toilets. Imagine the queues. Many people died of plattered leg syndrome. No, they didn't. But it was very unhygienic. There was lots of poverty, lots of poverty-related crime as well. Gambling, mugging, you name it, they were at it. Of course, in those days, poverty itself was often seen as a crime by some people in government and authority. They thought that if you were poor, it was because you were a morally bad person. In fact, some people even believe that if you are poor, you ought to be punished for it. And that is one reason, amongst many reasons, why they invented the industrial poorhouse system. Or as you may have heard of it, the workhouse system. You know what a workhouse is, don't you? Yes. Sort of an orphanage with an edge, you might say. So most of the people that were sent there were children. Children whose only crime was that they had no one in the world to look after them. Well, at one point in the early Victorian period, the workhouse in York, which was known locally as the Ragged School, was placed right here in the worst possible area of the town, the Bedern. At that time, the Ragged School, the workhouse, was run by a very wicked man called Mr. Pym. George Pym used to mistreat the children. He would beat them, he would starve them, and he would work them very, very hard. And sometimes, he the children would die. Well, Mr. Pym found this quite inconvenient, because he received a certain amount of money each year for the upkeep of each and every child, an allowance, if you like, from the city fathers, and of course if a child died, then the money for that child would stop. And he didn't want that to happen. So you can guess what he did, can't you? Yes. He simply pretended that the children were still alive, and instead he buried their little bodies on an area of waste ground at the other side of the Bedern Square. This practice went on for many years, became quite profitable for Mr. Pym. The extra money went towards his ever-worsening drink habit. But then one year a problem arose, because during the winter the ground over there froze so hard that Mr. Pym could not dig the shallow graves that he used to bury those little bodies. So now he started to get very worried. He certainly didn't want to be found out. He desperately needed another place to hide the bodies. And so he went into the ragged school building itself, found a very large closet, emptied it of all its contents, and then started to stack the bodies of the children one on top of the other inside. This went on all throughout the winter, and because it was a particularly harsh winter, there were more children dying than normal. Eventually, that closet started to get very, very full indeed. By this time, Mr. Pym was panicking. He was terrified of being discovered. He knew that if he was, he would almost certainly be executed. The whole thing started to prey on his mind. People at the time reported strange behaviour coming from him. He developed a nervous tic, a sort of a twitch in his face. And then there were the sounds that he started to hear. Sounds coming from that closet. It started off as a mumbling at first, then a giggling of children and laughter. Children laughing at him! He'd fling open the closet door and look around inside, but of course, there were no live people in there. Only the decaying bodies of those little boys and girls, which by now were beginning to smell something awful. Eventually, the whole situation drove Mr. Pym quite mad. And one night, in a fit of insanity, he took out a knife and stabbed all the rest of the children that were in his care. The next day, they found him surrounded by a pile of 13 little bodies. Well, the authorities took quite a dim view of all this. Of course, in those days, there was no such thing as pleading insanity or diminished responsibility, at least not in the way that we understand it now. And so they arrested him, took him to court, tried him, convicted him for murder, sentenced him to death, and then hung him by the neck until he was indeed dead. But that is not the end of the story. If you're ever walking down these streets late at night when you're on your own, you may have a similar experience to that which has been had by some of the local residents. You may be swinging your hand idly by your side as you walk along, and then suddenly you'll notice a very cold sensation in the palm of your hand. Indistinct at first, but then it becomes quite obvious what it is. It's the little cold hand of a child clinging onto your own. Gentlemen during the winter have also reported similar little cold hands being inserted into their overcoat pockets. It's as if the children are trying to keep warm. You probably noticed these new housing developments here. The new residents do report strange things happening in the street at night, which some people claim have been stirred up by the disturbance of the ground creating the new foundations for the houses, you understand. It's the sound of children playing in the street when there's nobody there. It starts off as a mumbling at first, then a giggling and laughter which goes on for quite a while, but then turns to insane laughter and screaming and banging. They are in fact called the screaming children of Bedern. What are they screaming at? Who are they laughing at? We can only guess. But perhaps the spirits of those children are pursuing the spirit of George Pym, even after death, into eternity. This way.
It's really cold.